all these are very useful. So these short notes, do not just read through one time and file it. You keep somewhere. Then after about 3 to 6 months of your cultivation, you take the note out again, read one more time. Every time you read, you reflect, you contemplate, the deep meaning will show up. Especially after you have cultivated. When your mindfulness, your heedfulness is developed, the Dhamma inside will stand out very clearly. And you will have a lot of joy, and you will appreciate what is being spoken. So these short notes are actually very useful for your future understanding and cultivation. So for that, maybe you all should thank Sister Lee. She take the trouble to put a lot of pointers for me to recall what I spoke. Then from there, I edited it and put it in writing for you. Because without this pointer, I cannot remember what I said. Really. Then sometimes when the pointer is not there, I also cannot say anything. Unless there is condition for that particular Dhamma to come out, then it will appear. Otherwise, it will be just the way it is. Meant to be will be. Okay, maybe we will start the Heart Sutta class so that we can proceed with the salutation. Your homage to Sakyamuni and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, then Sister Lee will guide us along the chanting of the Heart Sutta in the Mandarin version, Mahayana tradition. Then after that, we will repeat the Theravada Puja. The English translation followed by the Theravada Puja. Okay, pay respect to what Kuan Yin and Bodhisattva and Sakyamuni and all the other worthy one, then we will start. Okay.
Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiying Pusa. Namo Guansiying Pusa. Namo Guansiying Pusa. Poye Polo Mi Dua Sing Jing. Guansi Zai Pusa. Sing Sen Poye Polo Mi Dua Si. Gao Jian Wu Yun Jie Kong. Du yi che ku er, se li zi se bu yi kong, kong bu yi se, se ji zi kong, kong ji zi se, sou xiang xing si yi bu ru si, se li zi si zhu fa kong xiang, bu sen bu mie, bu kou bu jing, bu zhen bu jian si gu kong zhong wu se, wu sou xiang xing si, wu yan er bi se sen yi, wu se sen xiang wei, zhu fa 无言界乃至无意之界无无名义无无明境乃至无老死意无老死境无苦集灭道无自意无得已无所得故菩提萨多依波也婆罗蜜多故心无挂碍无挂碍故无有恐怖远离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃 三世诸佛依波耶婆罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故知波耶婆罗蜜多四大神咒四大明咒四无上咒四无等等咒能除意却苦证实不虚故说波耶婆罗蜜多咒即舍咒业 揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃
Okay, sadhu, thank you. We will now recite the English version of the Heart Sutta, the Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. Okay, we shall recite together. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandhas and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristic. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, cognition, formation, or consciousness. No eye, no tongue, body, or mind. No sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch, or dhamma. No feel of the eye, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness. And no ignorant or ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulation, no extinction, no way, and no understanding and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impedance, he is not afraid, and he is left distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three period of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate para gate para sam gate bohisatwa. Okay, we shall now chant the Theravada Puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Adinādāna viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Musāvādā virāmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Surāmerayā majjhāpamādatthānā virāmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Buddha, Sakyamuni, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the other worthy ones. Okay, very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, we shall turn to the verse on opening the Heart Sutta. We will recite together. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now hear it, see it. Sorry, I repeat. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true teaching. Okay, sadhu. We shall start now. Okay, turn to the short notes. For Manyuan who just came, pass her a copy. Also to Sui. Where is the notes? Okay, pass it to them. Okay, yeah. Okay, the 23rd, isn't it? Oh, yeah, this is the old notes, yeah. I was looking at the old notes. Okay, now we have the new notes, 23rd Heart Sutta. 9 September, the short notes. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. So this is a follow-up from last Sunday. So these short notes are very important. For we will deal with part 1, explanation and recap of the previous lesson. Okay, we were talking about the 5 aggregates of form and mind. You remember? Within the 5 aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceptible characteristics. Hence, it is quite easy to see and understand. Okay? Of all the 5 aggregates, the form, the rupa, you have both physical form and mental form. These are perceptible. You can visualize them. You can see them. You can hear them. You can smell them, taste them, or tactilely feel them. So that's why they have perceptible characteristics. They are more tangible. That's why it's called form. Color, shape, and form, vibration, or whatever. So they have this perceptible characteristic. They are more prominent, more pronounced. Whereas the other 4 aggregates of mind, but when it comes to mental aggregate, like feeling, perception, activity of mind, like thinking, mental states, or your mental emotion, mental formation and intention, etc., and consciousness, they are formless and much more subtle and difficult to see and understand. So that's the reason why I said we need to now develop better mindfulness and heedfulness, because we are going into the other aggregates of mind. We have finished the form. We have dealt with the rupa. So now it's feeling, perception, activity of mind, and your consciousness. Then we talk about meditation. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and its true purpose and intent. So the true purpose and intent, sincerity of purpose, is very important. Hence, their main activity are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind via concentration and focusing of the mind using the thought. So that is very common. Most people who develop meditation, they look for calmness, tranquility, the good meditation. So this calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative state, which they will cling on to as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that free or liberate the mind. So this is the true intent and purpose of developing this type of meditation. According to the Buddha, without wisdom, panya, you cannot free. That's why he teach the monks at that time, the Noble Eightfold Path. He said he break into three parts: sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila is morality. Then after that, you go into samadhi. The samadhi is the training of the mind. Then you have to develop the wisdom. That's why all the advice of the Buddha is the same: avoid all evil, do good. Then you purify your mind. That is to develop the wisdom, the enlightenment. So that is the true purpose and intent. So the calmness and tranquility are good condition state, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung on to. So most cultivator or most meditator cling on to all this calm and tranquil state. So every time when they meditate, when they have this, they say, my meditation is very good. If their meditation doesn't bring about the calmness and tranquility, they will say, today my meditation is very lousy, very bad. So what is happening to your mind? The light and dislike is still there. Your greed and hatred is still there. The evil roots are still there. The hindrance of mind are still there. Means you don't have wisdom. You don't know what you are doing. You have attachment to the mental condition state induced by meditation, which you yourself cannot see. So it defeats the whole purpose of meditation. So instead, they should make use of it to develop the wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment, vyasati, to see things as they are, without any concept, word, idea or thought. That's why you silence your mind, inner awareness, be heedful, that's all. That mindfulness, that calm, clear, tranquil mind that is aware within, that is the meditative state, that is appamada. Now use that to investigate the Dhamma. Use that to develop the wisdom. That is the true intent and purpose of meditation. Not to cling to those states and feel that, oh, now I'm very peaceful, very calm, free of suffering. No. Because you are in a conditioned state. You are in the formal meditation where nobody disturbs you. That's why you think you are peaceful. But meditation is not to become peaceful and calm. The peaceful and calm mind will come as a byproduct. Understand or not? So don't cling, don't worry about whether the meditation is peaceful or not, calm or not. Understand why your mind is not peaceful. That is more important. And why when it's peaceful, you have the tendency to attach, cling, and grasp onto those things. Because you have this idea of the right meditation, the good meditation. To you cling on to the peaceful and calm, tranquil state. You believe these are good enlightenment factors. These are good mental states that a good meditator will have. So all this can still delude you if you don't have the wisdom to understand. When you are along the cultivation path, the mind has this tendency to oscillate between all these conditioned states. That's why it's all impermanent. All of phenomena, all of condition arising state, means your meditative states, they are part of sankhara, understand? So they will change, they will transform. So if you don't have the wisdom to understand what is going on, you cannot accept when the mind is not peaceful, when the mind is not tranquil. Then you have a problem. Your mind has arisen, has reacted. That is delusion. Understand? You cannot see things as they are to accept the reality of the moment. So that's why that mind deludedly cling on to the mental state, thinking that I am not peaceful. Understand? That Sakkaya Ditti condition you to react. So what you do? You want to become peaceful. what you do? You try to control and suppress that thought. Understand, huh? That's what human beings are doing. Then they try to use another skillful means. They change technique. They change method. Then sometimes they go and see another teacher, thinking that they will learn a new method to control the mind. All this is a waste of time if you don't have the understanding of what is going on. What is important is you must understand mind has that tendency. Before it has the wisdom, it will have all these hindrances. It will react because there is delusion. Normal, natural. If you have that wisdom, then you don't react. Understand or not? You don't create negative mental states. You don't become deluded by what happened. Then you can accept things as they are. Accept the reality of the moment. Then you don't have to do anything. The moment you are silent and relaxed, then you realize the mind is peaceful again. Understand now? Then the tranquil and calm state will come back to you without you doing anything. That is wisdom. That is the real understanding of mind. So you have to have this understanding that originally, before the mind react and stir due to your delusion, it was peaceful. It was calm. It was in a natural state of relaxed inner awareness. But how come it stir? How come it react? Because you have this wrong view. You cling on to the good and calm state that you experienced before through memory. That's why attachment to the aggregate of mind, sanya, perception, memory, sankara, conditions, suffering. That's why you suffer, because you want things your way. You want to have good meditation. You want to have the calmness, the tranquility. And that is the cause of suffering. Understand? Why do you crave? You should learn things to learn the wisdom and the understanding to accept the reality of the moment. Then there is no more craving. When there is no more craving to be what and what and what, there is no more craving to be. You realize that the mind becomes naturally peaceful, silent. Then there is nobody there. Understand? Nobody to want to become what? Understand? To grasp and to cling and to arise a wrong view or to be deluded by what happened. Thing is just the way it is. So accept that reality of the moment. That's why you must have equanimity, upeka. Equanimity is wisdom. Wisdom that allow you to see things as they are. That condition the mind to be in a state of equanimity. Means what? Means what? The mind is unwavering. Understand? Because it's in the state of equanimity, not affected. Whatever you see, you hear, you think, smell, taste, tactile, feel, you are peaceful. Understand? That's why a mind that has upeka or equanimity born of wisdom does not stir. It is collected. It is unwavering. So that is the true wisdom that brings about the understanding for the mind to free, to liberate. Then nothing in this world can cause you misery, because you are no longer deluded. Then when you have this clear insight into the nature's characteristic of impermanence, leading to the understanding of suffering when you grasp and cling and want things your way, then you see very clearly the cause of suffering is your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, your delusion that condition you to do all those things. Then later on, when you insight into phenomena through this understanding, clear understanding of conditioned arising state, what they call impermanent, anicchang, then you start to see not only all phenomena behave that way, like the Buddha said, even your own form and mind is like that. And then you start to see, hey, this is not me. It's conditioned arising, causal phenomena. It's just a segmented form and mind. He know you, he know me. Then you start to see the empty nature. Then you start to penetrate with deep insight into anatta, non-self. That is the time you awaken. Then you got no more delusion. Then during that time, you know very clearly what this human being is all about, what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Then you start to see things differently, understand things differently. So this is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of true awakening. So all these are very important understanding that you must develop. That's why when you read through this note, you must reflect, contemplate deeply. Then the meaning will stand up. Okay, I will continue. You see the emphasis. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are. What is sati? What is mindfulness? Sati or mindfulness means awareness before the knowing, before the arising of mind. So when you are silent without thought, you are in sati, you are heedful. So without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are. To understand what is going on in life within the moment, use the sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature to develop the insight knowledges needed to free the mind. That is what I explained to you, the impermanent, suffering state and non-self. Then see clearly that all phenomena are naturally conditioned arising upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases. Also see how upon contact, this one you must really do the mindfulness meditation, how upon contact consciousness and its seven universal mental concomitant comes to be, and how ignorant contact condition craving leading to all the grasping and clinging etc. that condition one's suffering, when wisdom or yoniso manasikara or